Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, into the 11 o'clock hour, it is Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip funding guys over at kclend.com. Coming up in about 5 minutes, Kent Swanson, lead draft and film analyst over at Arrowhead Pride, going to join us. 65 days to go to the draft, so we'll check in where things are at right now. The Chiefs have 8 picks as of now, and they could pick up a few more with comp picks going forward, depending on how free agency goes as well. And what's going to happen in free agency? It's an outright for the targets for Kansas City. Even though we're none of us are on the same page on wanting DeSean Jackson, we are on the same page of not wanting him, I should say. And so we'll check in with Kent Swanson about that in just a little bit. But just Cody was crunching the math. He was already doing standings and everything. The standings for the combine.
Out, so I know the standings for now.
C-Dot's in first for the combine with 14 points. Cody's in second with 11. Bob's in third with 8.
I'm in second.
I'm in fourth with 7. Rob's in fifth with 7. So we tie, but I have the tiebreaker. And then Josh is at 6th with 5. Serta in 7th with 4. Tomorrow's a big, big day with the bench press for some movement. I don't like how this is going to go. I like tomorrow. I know I'm not finishing last in the bench press, which is nice for the first time. But the day itself is not going to go good for me, I don't think, based on who's behind me and what Serta said he did in the bench press.
It's going to be an interesting swing day, I think.
It could be. Could be.
Carrington's still the favorite. I mean, he's won both categories. But I'm in a solid second place. I'm only 3 points back right now. I feel good. I'm not mad about my performance so far.
I need a tweet at spec. We need live odd updates. We need live odd updates, please. That's what we need.
I don't feel that bad. I'm in second place. 3 points ahead of Bob right now. Just 3 points behind Carrington. I know I'm going to make up some points on Carrington tomorrow in the bench press. It's going to come down to the vertical, an unknown for me. And the 40-yard dash, one of which I fell during. So I hope I ran it fast the first time. It's about what that comes down to, fellas. Really, the most embarrassed person should be Rob. The person who
we thought... I mean, I finished the same as him, though, so...
I know, but I thought he was going to win. I didn't think you were ever going to win it. I watched you play last year. There were some struggles.
I mean, I'm with you. I still think the disrespect at being picked to finish dead last,
even when
Ryan and Levine were both participants. I just want to point that out. Like, Serta should not be in last place. Serta's in seventh, Ryan's in eighth, and Levine's in ninth, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I agree. Serta, congratulations. You've moved up.
I feel like...
And you're going to move up tomorrow, because I think that you did better in the bench than a lot of us.
I got to work on my broad jump because I was bad at that last year too. I don't really know what I need to do to make that better.
Yeah, I need some practice on that. Because if I added 1 inch, I would have been. If I added 2 inches, I'd have been in second place. Like, that's it. Just this. Like, add this to your broad jump gold, and you could go from like fifth to third to second. Like, if one of us actually legitimately practiced at it, we might be good. Okay. Well, look, we can eliminate a couple people. Serta didn't run the 40. He can't win. You can't win. Kling can't win. Rob can't win. I think this is down to a three-horse race. There are three people who have a chance to win the combine. They are me, Carrington, and Bob Fesco.
Yes, that's accurate.
You were thinking about kicking me out of that list. I know. I can see it in your heart of hearts.
Well, because I think you're going to finish outside of the top two in vertical this year, which is going to hurt you. But, I'm just trying to figure out if there's a way now with the opt-outs, if I can still finish ahead of Kling and Serta. And I think I can, even with the bench press tomorrow. That's, again, my goal is just not to finish last. That's all we're going for. I know I'm not going to win.
Just not finish last. Hey, look, I got to be honest. That'd be a win. Last year, you didn't get the bar up. You got the bar up this year. I'm proud of you. That's it. It's that simple. Like, I just, I mean, when I go back through and I look at, like, the possibilities tomorrow, I need Carrington to do what he said he did, lift zero. And I need to be.
Do you think he's being on? Do you think there's going to be stunned tomorrow? Do you think
Carrington? No. You think, he's not lying.
You sure? You don't think Carrington's playing this all? You don't think Carrington actually put up 4 or 5 and then really just going to run away with this thing?
Damn, that would be a problem.
I'll be very bummed about that.
To give myself a chance to win, I have to finish in the top 3 in this thing tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't think you did.
In the bench?
Yeah. I think Fesco, Serta, and maybe even...
Kling got me beat?
Kling gotcha.
I know I have you. I'm pretty sure I got Rob. I know I got Carrington. So, like, 4th is the bottom barrel, end of the road situation. The real question is, did I slide below 3rd?
Text line. Cody clings to his 2020 Combine Championship like the Astros cling to their 2017
That's all I got, man.
World Series Championship.
What do you want me to do, Jay Southlanto Service Text Line? What do you want me to do? That might be the only championship I get. I'm supposed to pretend like it didn't happen? Royals celebrated the 1985 World Series for 30 years. If you think I'm not going to hold on to this championship similarly.
And there was controversy around that one, too.
Yeah, there sure was.
There was controversy around both.
Thursday is going to be the most interesting day of this entire thing because of the fact the vertical results are fascinating to the end result.
So tomorrow, day 3 of the 610 Combine. Let's go out to the 610 hotline. We're 65 days or so away from the NFL draft. So let's bring in the lead draft and film analyst over at Arrowhead Pride. He is Kent Swanson. Kent, good to have you back on the show. We know there's no actual combine taking place, so we've just got our station combine going on. You can send out your draft grades for us if you would like based off of combine results. We can make sure we send those results. I'm sure you've got room in the draft guide to make some spots for us.
Guys, I don't think your athletic testing will show up on our grading scale.
What do you?
I'm sorry. I'm following it a little bit. I saw some of y'all's broad jumps.
But to be honest, like if you just look at it from an our station perspective, how do you generally feel about guys who play better their junior year than their senior year? Because I feel like that's what I'm going through here, Kent. I think I'm going through. I won it all my junior year. Got a little complacent. Wasn't an every down guy. You know, like. Didn't give 100% effort every down my senior year. How do those usually go in the draft?
Well, I mean, from an effort level perspective, we're going to have a lot of questions and concerns. We're probably going to grill you to try to really get to the root of why you kind of failed.
I got comfortable.
As your career went on.
I got comfortable. What do you say? I got that championship and I felt good about it, Kent. When you were actually looking about this year's draft, players the Chiefs can take. Before I ask you some specific guys you might target for Kansas City, as you've started to look at this draft, what are some of the positions that are just deep? Whether they're good for Kansas City or not, where are some of the positions in this draft where you are going to get some of that value where Kansas City is going to be picking? Into the first round, into the second round, into the third, for so on.
This draft, gentlemen, is perfectly positioned for the Kansas City Chiefs. It is deep at offensive line, inside and outside. It is deep at defensive end. It is deep at wide receiver. There is so much value that is going to be available, I think, at 31, 63, 94. And even into day 3, I think there's going to be value at some of these positions where, you know, the Chiefs are going to get really good football players, and they're going to be able to take probably best position or, best available at a position of need in all those rounds. You've got to be excited if you're a Chiefs fan about this draft, because I'm telling you, it's set up perfectly for them to really make some improvements on this football team through the draft.
Is there one of those three positions you feel like is going to be more deep at the end of the first round? Because I've said, look, as much as we would be fine with an offensive lineman at the end of the first round, the Chiefs under Brett Veach have not invested in high draft picks at that position at all. Now, it's never been as desperate of a need as it is now, but like if it's deeper at wide receiver, I'm not going to be surprised if that's where they go at the end of the first round, Ken.
I don't think you should be surprised if they go wide receiver at the end of the first round, because, you know, just depending on how teams evaluate this thing and how aggressive teams, you know, want to be, maybe there is a guy that they really like. If they're going to trade up, it's probably going to be for a wide receiver. Like let's say Jalen Waddle starts falling, you know, a little bit because people just want to play the value in this draft. That could actually be the situation where I could see Brett Veach moving up, is to go grab one of those, you know, top shelf wide receivers. But I mean, tackle too, like you're going to be able to sit at 31, and there's going to be some guys available to them, I think, ultimately that you're going to be thrilled with it if you're a Chiefs fan, because I could see seven offensive tackles that would be, you know, really great value for the Chiefs in the first round.
We're talking to Kent Swanson, a lead draft and film analyst over at Arrowhead Pride. How much number wise are they going to throw at the offensive line, do you feel like, pick wise? I mean, does it certainly if they go in the first round maybe changes your opinion versus if they go in the second? But I have said I want two minimum offensive linemen drafted this year.
Yeah, they should try to go identify a tackle that they really like, and they should probably go try to identify an interior offensive line, and that's regardless of what they do in free agency, because in 2022 they really don't have a ton of offensive linemen under contract. Depending on what they do with the Mitchell Schwartz, if Mitchell Schwartz is back, and even Eric Fisher, they don't have guys under contract. So they've got to, you know, start insulating that group long term. And so, you know, I think you've got to go attack it and grab at least two guys. And frankly, I think there's a chance both of these guys could wind up being improvements over what you saw towards the end of the year along that offensive line.
When you look at last year's draft, I know that's hard to kind of go back to now that you guys are working on your KC draft guide for this year. What did you make of Lucas Niang? Just because as they look at this draft, it's almost like he's a pick for this year since he opted out last year and we never got to see him. What was your evaluation of Lucas Niang then as far as where the offensive line will go this year?
Yeah, I mean, we really like Lucas Niang, and he would probably fall somewhere in that top 10 tackle range for us at this point, you know, if he was to be introduced into this class. And I do think you do need to look at him as a guy that you're excited about a little bit moving forward. Obviously, you know, the situation with him being removed a year is really hard when it comes to, you know, the tackle position, all those hits and stuff. But he's a guy that has really, really good movement skills. Some of the concerns about him were some of his health. I mean, in some ways it could not be a terrible thing that he kind of got that redshirt year, let some injuries heal up. But I mean, I think he's a guy that you can, you know, see if he can stick out at tackle. But if he can't, and if you're comfortable with what you have at the tackle position, movement inside the guard, and he'll be an exceptional guard. So there's some versatility, there's some talent, undoubtedly, and he'd probably fall somewhere around offensive tackle 10 this year if we were going to do the draft again.
Is there a position, Kent, where you're like, I will be almost a little upset if they draft there, other than, of course, the quarterback? But is there another position where you're like, all right, there's really no need for them to go in this direction? Is it quarterback and running back? Is that it, or is there another?
I'm pretty staunch on this, and I know there's going to be a lot of people that are not going to like this because, you know, there's a linebacker out of Missouri that's really good that we like, but I would not like to see the Chiefs go offense or off-ball linebacker. I think this is kind of a situation where the Chiefs just spent a top 64 pick on a young off-ball linebacker. They have Anthony Hitchens, and they've made that contract with the restructure to a point where he's not a guy that they're cutting, and they love him. You hear what Steve Spagnuolo says about Anthony Hitchens. They've kind of got the majority of their other linebacker snaps accounted for this year. So if they went and grabbed another linebacker, I wouldn't be very happy.
It's also just not how they play defense, Ken. Like, I guess when I look at them in the versatility, having three linebackers who are there all the time doesn't really fit. Like having guys like Dan Sorensen or Tyrann Mathieu or Juan Thornhill, like, hey, go down there and play in the box for this play, for this snap, for this set of downs, seems more in line with what they're likely to do. I just feel like the NFL's moving away from linebacker if you're an adaptive defensive coordinator. Is that wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. And I think that's part of it, is you're just looking at how these snaps are going to be distributed, and you see how much these guys are in the dime and how much these guys are, you know, in the nickel. And, you know, there's not a room for three linebackers. And frankly, if you're going to go and pick a guy in the top 64 last year and then come back around and pick another linebacker early, that's bad business. And I'm going to critique it if it happens, because I don't think that's a good roster building decision, especially when you look at needs long term, like we talked about on the offensive line. You need to try to identify a pass catcher that can become a blue chip player here with Patrick Mahomes. So I think it would be bad business to go identify a linebacker and try to grab him.
Speaking with Kent Swanson here of Arrowhead Pride, you can pre-order his KC draft guide with fellow Arrowhead Pride members right now. Just go follow him at Kent Swanson on Twitter. Last year, I was trying to convince the Chiefs to trade up to take a wide receiver at like 20, when all those guys were, you know, falling down, and it seemed like there was incredible value at that point. They look like they might have 8 draft picks. To me, that seems like more than they might actually need, Kent. Do you see this as being like, how do you think Kansas City should be looking to attack this draft this early on, 65 days away? Is it a trade out of the first round, acquire more picks, kind of normal New England mode, or is 8 picks enough to get them what they need to get done?
I think that you could see it a little bit of both, depending on where the value is on the board and what they see falling at 31. Maybe it's something where they move back to 40, but then are aggressive, you know, with, you know, their second round pick. So they're wind up picking, you know, at number 40 and 50. Because I think there is a really good pocket of second round grades that kind of starts probably in the late teens. You know, and there's, okay, no, there's not 32 first round picks in every draft, right? There's anywhere between 15 and 20 every year. There's a really good class that starts, you know, in the late teens and all the way into the 60s, there's good value. So maybe trying to play in that pocket and make sure you're locking up two guys that you love in that range. You know, you could use, you know, you could do a little bit of both moving up and back. I don't think that they wind up with 8 players in their draft class, though. I think it's a little bit less.
Lastly, Kent, a little bit away from the draft, explain to me why people are even remotely interested in DeSean Jackson. To me, he is an injured player, just like Sammy Watkins. In fact, more injured than Sammy Watkins the last couple of years. His availability is not there. He's older than Sammy Watkins by, what, 7 years. I have zero interest in DeSean Jackson.
Yeah, I'm out. I'm all the way out on that.
Good.
Like, you listed everything that, you know, that I'm in agreement with. He's 34 years old. He's going to be 35 in his in this season. I don't know, you know, obviously there's a long connection between Andy Reid and even Brett Veach, I believe, some love there between those two guys. So, I mean, I get the connection, but I'm all the way out on trying to grab another guy. They don't need hurt players right now. They need guys that are going to be there.
Kent Swanson, lead draft and film analyst over at Arrowhead Pride. We'll be talking to him a lot more, getting closer and closer to the NFL draft out on April the 29th. Thanks, Kent.
Anytime, fellas.
Good stuff from Kent Swanson ahead of the NFL draft. And, yeah, we're on the same page there on DeSean Jackson. I'm glad. I was a little worried if he would have been on board with going with DeSean Jackson in free agency. But I think everybody's kind of understanding why that doesn't make any sense, given the fact the conversation has always been centered around Sammy Watkins staying
and there's
healthy.
A million good free agent wide receivers, yeah, and a million good draftable wide receivers, apparently. It's like, yeah, let's get hooked into a 35-year-old wide receiver who's become about the occasional big play. I like DeSean Jackson. He's had a great NFL career. This ain't it. This just isn't it. That's not the move to make. And look, old names are going to pop up with Kansas City a lot, and that doesn't make it unreasonable. Like, Patrick Peterson's name gets mentioned with Kansas City today, Gold. The reason why that name gets mentioned is Kansas City is going to look for low-priced, veteran-available players to improve their team with on a year-in and year-in basis. But you got to be careful about the guy you get in bed with. And DeSean Jackson doesn't seem like he fits what they need right now.
We'll get to a Chiefs Red half hour about 15 minutes from now. We'll get back into another hypothetical that is floated there. But a reminder, coming up in March on the 17th, St. Patrick's Day. How about St. Patrick Mahomes Day here on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio? You've probably seen us tweet out on our station account and individual accounts the T-shirt, limited edition T-shirt giveaway. Our friends over at Own KC, only a handful of those to give away throughout the day. So those are going to be really limited, and you're going to want to be listening all day long for your chance to do that. We're going to be celebrating Patrick Mahomes' top 50 plays. Yes, there's easily 50 to choose from already. That's the kind of career he's already been able to have. You can also vote on the top 10 plays right now over at 610sports.com. The results will then be released on the 17th of March. We'll, of course, replay some of those important drives of Mahomes' career already, hoping to have a bunch of different players or former teammates, coaches, individuals that meant a lot already throughout the life and career of Patrick Mahomes. So that is really, really neat. Looking forward to it. And best of all, we're partnering with Children's Mercy to raise funds that entire week. So St. Patrick's Mahomes Day, here on 610 Sports Radio, March 17th.
Try to do some good and give you a chance at that limited edition T-shirt from our friends over at Own KC. If you want to see a picture of that, I think you tweeted it out this morning, yep, at Alex Gold. But yeah, just going to try to do a lot of good as much as we can the week of the 15th. But the biggest being St. Patrick Mahomes Day, as you mentioned, on the 17th, your chance for a ton of great prizes as well.
As far as the Royals go a little bit, because, you know, I know Vern's going to join us tomorrow at 12:30, and we'll ask him this very question. I don't feel like there's a ton, for the first time in a little while, breakout candidates necessarily on this club. Like, Mondesi is always going to be like the breakout candidate because can he be consistent? But if you take him out of the equation, are there really that many guys where you go through, if you look at what we project to be the lineup, project to be the opening day roster, truly breakout guys? Because I don't consider, if Brady Singer goes out and pitches well for 162, maybe I view breakout differently. To me, that wouldn't be a breakout season. Maybe you would view that for him. I think there's very few guys that are actually breakout. Like Andrew Benintendi, who they acquire. If he has a good season and reverts back to 2018 Benintendi, I don't view that as a breakout season. He's done it before. To me, a breakout's where you're doing something that nobody's really seen yet in your career, right? And that's, to me, what a breakout season is. I don't think they have a ton of those guys, and that's not the worst thing, by the way. It means that they're starting to have some more guys. You know what the expectation is. You know what you're getting from them, and that's why you feel good about the lineup. Modesty is certainly the guy that fits there. Another one is someone that's not even on the well, we don't think he's going to be on the opening roster, and we all feel very confident he won't be on the opening day roster.
I wish he would be.
It's Daniel Lynch. That's someone I know you're looking forward to seeing. We've talked about Asa Lacy and Jackson Kowar, but Daniel Lynch is the one guy you've always highlighted that you're really looking forward to.
I think he's the best pitcher in their system.
To me, he's the breakout candidate. If there's injuries or issues with the staff, if he were to get called up sooner than we think, he's a guy that could have an instant impact. In fact, MLB.com, I was really surprised to see this. They have him as the Royals Rookie of the Year candidate. He's not going to make the club out of camp.
Yeah, but how many rookies are going to make club out of camp for Kansas City?
But is he going to get? It's a 162 game schedule, so maybe there's still an opportunity. But he's and for that reason as well, he's my breakout candidate, because if he gets up to the big league club this year, he's got a chance to do it. I don't think there's many guys that have an opportunity to.
David Leske, who obviously comes on this show, is a friend of the show. He put out his article over on his Inside the Crown article base, and he had Hunter Dozier. And I know that at first you're like, well, how can Hunter Dozier break out? Because he hasn't really fully broken out yet. And the comparison he makes for him is actually a pretty strong one. You got to think of a guy who got into the league late, looked like he could hit, had a few injury stuff, and then when you start going through some of the advanced analytics, you can find a way that Hunter Dozier is going to be better than even you think about him being. Like, more of the middle of the order bat versus, I don't know, the projected six hitter. He might be in the order right now. He is a strong candidate for it, but my answer is Tyler Zuber. He is, you know, they got a lot of pitching prospects you just don't talk about. Like, you may never mention John Heasley or be like, who the hell's that? He's a good pitching prospect for the Royals. Because there's further guys down the list. Zuber was one of those because he was a bullpen arm. So you weren't going to hear him like you heard Lynch and Kowar and Bubich and Singer. You were never going to hear him that way. But he was good at getting outs in the minor leagues. And the fact he already got called up to me proves that they've got a lot of faith in him. We saw him last year in micro spurts where I thought he looked pretty good. I think Tyler Zuber is going to be the guy who surprises you in the circle of trust category of the late inning reliever. Remember earlier when we were saying who can be, like, hey, maybe Barlow can be late inning, Holland and Stamont. And we're like, boy, do they even have enough high leverage guys? I think Zuber comes onto the scene this year and can be that. Like, I think he has a chance to be the breakout candidate for Kansas City. Let us know over in the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-576-7610. He's kind of the sneaky guy in that end, but you're not wrong. This team is not veteran-laden yet, but it's kind of starting to be that way. It's a lot of guys in their mid-20s who have been around the league long enough that it feels like we got a sense of who they are.
Right, you do know.
Not the pitching.
Sure, but yeah, because you feel like now you do know what you're going to get from Brad Keller. I think we know what you're going to get from Danny Duffy, assuming he's going to be in the rotation, and we think he is for the opening day roster. You know what you're going to get, perhaps, from Mike Minor a little bit.
I think you got a sense,
But
there's always variance.
It's still the first full season coming up from Singer and Bubich. I just don't put them on the breakout. Unless Singer goes out there and just dominates, and we're talking about him being one of the best pitchers in baseball, that's a breakout season. He can have a very good season and not be a breakout candidate. I just don't think there's a ton, and it's not a bad thing because there are expectations. Like Soler, you know what the peak can be for Jorge Soler. Saw that a couple years ago. So you wouldn't be surprised if Jorge Soler in July was, you know, in the top five in home runs in the league. Like, okay, that by the way is something that we've seen. He obviously led the American League. So that's where I think it's a little bit different than the position they've been in the past. But if we're going long shots, I think, you know, Zuber maybe not Lynch even as good. Big of a, but Lynch is definitely a long shot one. Were you surprised though? Like MLB.com Rookie of the Year candidate?
But if you think about four, like,
that's pretty wild.
If you got to choose someone on Kansas City to be a Rookie of the Year candidate, you know, Bobby Witt Jr. is not likely to be up nearly long enough to make any kind of that kind of impact. You do have to choose one of their young pitchers.
Yeah, I'm surprised
who hasn't already had the service time to do it.
I'm surprised they didn't say like Asa Lacy, for example. And I know he was just drafted a year ago, but still most people think he maybe is pretty close too. Overall, so that, I guess that I wouldn't have been surprised if they would have said, "Oh, Asa Lacy." I said, "Wow, that they really feel like he's going to get called up." But yeah,
Lynch is just as far along as Lacy is because he's been in the system for a year. I just think like all their rookie, they're going to want to see them at like double and triple A for a minute. Like, they're going to want to see Lynch and Lacy, like, at least for a minute at the minor league level. Look, Salvador Perez yesterday was gushing about Daniel Lynch. He's like, not many guys can throw 99 to 100 from the left-hand side. That kid is close. Like, that's how Salvador Perez put it.
Daniel Lynch throwing 100 miles an hour, man. Like, that's... that's got to get you excited about potentially what he can bring.
I'm telling you, if you look at the entire Royals organization, and I said this before Singer got called up and before Bubic called up, if I had to peg the one guy, like if we were all the pitchers, is anyone off limits for you? Lynch. Lynch is the guy I'm a firm believer in. So he'll be the guy I'll be the most disappointed. Now, I told you, the Royals should think of Asa Lacy as being the next ace of the staff just because of where he is. But yeah, there's movement there.
Something we could also get into maybe later in the week, too. I remember last year mentioning some of these young pitchers and whether or not you would want to move any of them because you feel at some point they're going to need to. And we'll see based
I'm still
off
open
of,
to that.
And you're still. But Lynch is the only guy you're not willing to.
I would not move Lynch.
But you would on Bubic or Singer still?
I would entertain it.
Okay. That'll be interesting to follow.
I'm not saying I would, but I'd entertain it.
Coming up in 90 seconds, Serta's got a fantasy flash looking at former Jayhawk Josh Jackson, who's now up in Detroit. We'll also have another hypothetical to toss your way in the Chiefs Red Half Hour.
Cody and Gold, presented by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip funding guys at kzlend.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Chiefs Red Half Hour, every day at 11:30 on Cody and Gold.
It is our Chiefs Red Half Hour. We'll get to question that you posed to Ken Swanson, as a matter of fact, when he joined us about the draft pick position for Kansas City in just a little bit, but another hypothetical. So we talk about needs for Kansas City. Let's say we get through free agency, which is just a couple weeks away, and both Bashaud Breeland and Daniel Sorensen are gone. Does that change where you guys are at on priorities for corner and or for safety? So essentially, Bashaud Breeland, who SpotTrack is projecting, could get a one-year, $5 million contract. I told you at that price, I'm in. Sign me up for that. I'd do it. Not a multi-year deal. Dan Sorensen, 2 years ago, people thought he would not even be on the roster. Here we are 2 years later. He was a vital part of the Chiefs winning Super Bowl a year ago and what he did in the postseason. We all know about the fake punt, and that tackle was one of the plays that changed the entire game.
He's been a pretty clutch player.
And he's been in the right spot at the right time in terms of finding ways to cause some things to happen. But he has his limitations. If they lose Bashaud Breeland, I think it's more of a need at corner than it is if you lose Dan Sorensen. I know this team likes to play with three safeties, but I feel really good about still having Tyrann Mathieu and Juan Thornhill versus as good as Snead looked in a rookie season. Where Ward is his trajectory right now is a little concerning after what he looked like a year ago. So for me, if Breeland's gone, I would be more concerned about the cornerback position. And I know it's weird because we talk all the time like, oh, they've been able to mask that and plug guys around.
They really have been.
They have, but they still throw numbers at it a little bit, right? So Snead would be your number one corner next year if that's the case, which is okay. Yes. No problem
and
with
Rashad
that.
And Rashad Fenton would, if Ward fell off a map, then... Or they didn't re-sign him, then Fenton's in his role.
I don't really see a scenario where Ward and Breeland are both gone. I don't think they can afford that. Because then then they are probably going to spend another high draft pick on a corner if that's the case.
Like, I don't think
Ward and they lost Kendall Fuller, which we already knew they were prepared for that. But like the idea that they could roll into next season with L'Jarius Sneed and Rashad Fenton as their two corners does scare the hell out of me.
I just feel like we're having a repeat of the conversation over the last 2 years.
I understand.
I feel like this is the question we've asked about Kansas City. I can't believe my answer is safety, but it's safety.
Really? Because
if they were to lose, and look, I don't think they have to play three safety. I don't think it'd have to be exactly like a Sorensen type. But if they were both to be gone, see, like in my mind, you lose, like I would still rather lose Sorensen than Breland. It's the losing both where I think their versatility gets cut in half and then corner becomes a problem and safety's a problem. And if they just have Breland around, they can cover some of their problems with safety. But if both are gone, then I want a versatile safety to do it. So it's almost like I feel like I need the versatile position more than I just straight need a corner. Now, look, maybe not straight safety like you would think traditionally, because Dan Sorensen doesn't play straight safety for this team. But that hybrid guy, the hybrid guy that exists in the NFL or at least gets drafted in the NFL now, like that to me is how I see that role kind of advancing because, and I get it, like you don't want to lose. I think Ward could cover. My fear with corner, the one thing I would say about corner is that if Breland's gone and Sorensen's gone, I do worry that Charvarius Ward is on the precipice of being bad.
Right.
Like, I don't think he is bad yet, but I'm worried that that shift could happen at some point for him. And if it did, they would really have a problem.
Which is why, as I'm saying, like you cannot go into next season to me with Fenton and Sneed as your one and two corners. Despite what you're saying about Ward and where he's heading is like, it's one thing next year if it's okay, you lose Breland and you've got Sneed, Fenton and Ward and then some other veteran they bring in as well. Okay. Yeah, that's fine. I can handle that. That's not a problem. But if you tell me that it's Sneed and it's Rashad Fenton and let's say they brought back Antonio Hamilton,
but in this,
you know, like I don't feel good about that. I value Bashaud Breland more than you do. Clearly. I mean, he's been inconsistent. Yes. But he to me this past season was fine.
Breland's a more important player individually than Sorensen. It's just, if they're both gone, your situation is almost kind of proving the point because you're like, look, you can't go into next year with no Breland with Fitton and Sneed. But in this scenario, Ward's still there, so you're fine. Like, are you more survivable with Fitton, Sneed, Ward, unknown, low price, cheapy, or drafted corner, or with no Sorensen? Or are you better with Breland, Ward, Sneed, don't know who, and no Sorensen? And when the collective comes together is when I start to say, maybe I take the other side. As individual players, Breland is more important, I think, totally. It's funny, because like the swing to me is how they change as a defense without the play. Like, I get what you're saying. Like, there's an argument, really, on both sides of this. But it's somehow the version of the defense I see without, I don't like as much without. Without Sorensen versus Breland.
Yeah, you're talking about...
it becomes a bigger need. I want a safety replacement.
Like you're talking about versatility. I'm with you there. But again, he still is your third guy on the depth chart at safety. You know, and I know we know how many snaps Sorensen played, plenty of snaps this past year. But it's the flexibility he gives is great. But I also don't think we don't need to build up Dan Sorensen into this elite football player by any means either. I think we're probably building him up a little bit too much in this discussion. Like he was valuable and he had his key moments, and certainly a year ago they're not in the Super Bowl without him, okay? But I don't think it was, let's not forget, a year and a half ago people were ready to cut him and didn't think he was needed on this team, and he's had a bigger role. But you're telling me they couldn't find someone else to be a third safety that's versatile? I think they very easily could.
Well, and maybe that's why you would call it less of a need.
Yeah, and someone points on the text line too.
They've done a really good job finding corners. DeAndre Baker's on the roster.
Yeah, we just don't know his health. That's a fair point. We don't know how he's going to recover, but it sounds like surgery when everything went well. But
timeline, he should be okay.
See how
it depends on how he goes.
And he had, in the one game we really saw, it was impressive, but it was one game. So DeAndre Baker, how much faith do they have in him? Part of that discussion. So, okay, if it is a scenario where you've got Sneed and Ward and Baker and Fenton, does that make you feel a bit better? That's to me where they'll, if the price isn't right on Bashaud Breland, then it might also tell you their faith in Ward bouncing back and also their faith in Baker being a key piece going forward, and who's essentially making no money next year.
Ward wasn't bad last year. He was fine. But he went from, like, I thought he was playing pretty good to the point that I would have entertained a cheap extension because I thought you could have gotten a cheap extension done, to now I wane on that a little bit because I felt like, oh, God, did we begin to see the dip last year? Like, was the downplay just he didn't play quite as well any given year, your play, you know, moves around a little bit, like those things. Like, to me, it's, is it that or is it the other? And like I worry about Ward. So that's a fair point about Breland, because I absolutely worry about Ward.
So that's the hypothetical. We can continue to take your comments on that over on the text line, 913-576-7610. You asked Kent Swanson, when he joined us a little while ago, a question about priorities in the draft. We're all on the same page on the offensive line. But is there an actual area where you're like, all right, if we sit there on April 29th and the Chiefs draft this position, where you're going to be upset a little bit by it? I think there were people a year ago who were upset that the Chiefs went running back. I told you going into the draft a year ago, I didn't want them taking a running back in the first round. Then it ended up being Clyde, and we talked about what kind of fit he could be, and he was going to be involved in the passing game, and I got sold on it, and it worked, and I told you I was fine with what he gave the team this past year. I know people were upset by it, but I was fine with what Ward or what Clyde Edwards-Helaire brought to you. Same. Is there a position this year, 65 days away from the draft, where you're like, you know what? And we got to see what they do in free agency.
If we're not being jerks, right? And say fullback, then there's a couple.
Quarterback, right? You know,
quarterback.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, I'd be pretty annoyed at that. You're right.
You know, we're a long ways away before they need to even worry about doing that, obviously. So is there a position where you think right now, without knowing how free agency is going to go, that you'd be upset about? They're not going to draft another running back, I think. So let's take quarterback, running back off the board. Like, that's just not even part of the conversation here. After that, is there a position where you'd actually be upset? I'm with Kent a little bit on the linebacker spot. To me, there's only three positions where I would like them to draft, and it's three areas: offensive line, either a guard or a tackle, both, right? Corner, and wide receivers. If you told me
not one of those three, you're kind of annoyed.
If you told me they left the draft, and you know what, if they like a tight end that they think can help them late in the draft, then so be it. I'll add the tight end to the mix. You know where I'm at on the backup tight end position for this team. So tight end, corner, wide receiver, offensive line. Those are the areas that I would want them to address.
Like, I would tell you, no. If it's linebacker, I am going to be a little annoyed. I just told you yesterday, I hope they don't take a single linebacker in the entire draft. So if they take one at the end of the first round, yeah. Honestly, that might be the one that pisses me off the most, because it is such a low priority. I don't see any reason why I don't see any reason at all why it's a position of need at all. Like, period. Like, obviously quarterback or fullback or any of the positions we're talking about. If they chose another running back at the end of the first round, I would blow a gasket.
I don't think you have to worry about that.
Like, again, those are the ones that are obvious. Linebacker is the one, though. Linebacker is the one that I'm like, why are you taking that? But to be honest, safety or corner might be on that list. It's not a good cornerback draft. They've already established that. We didn't ask Kent about that, but that's largely been the consensus in the draft community that it's not a good corner draft. And they've done well doing cheap. And I don't think this is the year to do it, considering the fact I think they can find those available options in free agency. I just think it's not as big of a need in the first round. I don't want to take it.
By the way, this conversation is not about the first round.
No, I know.
I'm not saying they're going to draft a corner in the first round. They've got 8 picks. They might end up with more than 8 picks when it's said and done. If they want to draft a corner in the 6th round, I have no issue with that.
No,
they got both. They got L'Jarius Sneed in the 4th round, right? And he turned out to be an absolute stud.
I'm good in the 4th. Like, after those rounds, like after the first round, how mad can you be? Like, even if they took a running back in the 7th, are you really going to lose your mind?
I'd be like, why? But sure.
Look,
just go get an undrafted guy instead.
But
at that point,
fine. But if it's a 7th round draft pick, we're splitting hairs. That's the same difference. I don't care.
If they took Najee Harris, you wouldn't be intrigued by that at all.
Oh my God, that would be ridiculous. I don't want that, Serta. They have Patrick Mahomes. I don't need to watch Najee Harris and Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
But it'd be sweet.
Run on, fools.
I'd be mad if they take that center that everybody's mocking them to take.
Why? Why would you be mad if he takes a center?
He might wind up being a great play, but you know for a fact the Chiefs aren't signing that dude to a second contract. So even if he's the best center in football, the dude's not even going to be on your team in a few years.
Is it specifically because Kansas City never gives a center
a second?
Mitch Morse is a really, really good center, and they didn't pay him.
They didn't pay Rodney Hudson.
You get 5 years out of him. If he's an all-pro center, and you get 5 years out of it.
That's not like if
at
we
pick
said
30. It's different when it's a top 10 pick, Cody. Man. It's pick 31. It's different.
I know, but if I set a goal for every pick, if I told you my goal at 31 was 5 years, that ain't it.
It's 31. Like, talking about a top 10 pick.
I know.
It's 31.
I know, but like when you take a guy at 31, the goal is not 5 years.
I told you Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the Chiefs, unless he's going to sign a cheap deal, I told you I don't want Clyde Edwards-Helaire getting a second contract with this team. That was before the season started because of where I value running backs. I said, if Clyde goes out and turns out to be a top five running back in the NFL, you got to be willing to walk away after year five. I told you that. And so that was my same view at pick 32 a year ago. So I have no issue with that.
Man, you just want him taking a bunch of first round picks that could just do some? Bye, Clyde. Now you're extending
a bunch of first round picks. We had a discussion last week. I told you I would prefer them not go center. But in this scenario, my reason to not go center isn't that I'm worried that he won't be on the team in year six. That's not my concern.
No, but I think
trying to win
take...
with this roster for the next five, what puts you in the best position the next 5 years to win a championship? But having an all-pro center is one thing that does it.
But I think that's a bad way to draft. Like, it's short-sighted and it gets you in trouble. Yes, there are windows. But Patrick Mahomes, your window's going to be open for 20 years. So
you've got to find...
Not
20, but yeah.
Maybe. Tom Brady might play another till he's 45. That's 20 years from Patrick Mahomes. Now, look, I'm a dreamer.
With a different team.
I'm a dreamer.
If they drafted another safety in the first round, I'd be pretty annoyed too.
Yeah, that's not the position. Like, they just don't, like, there isn't the depth in the draft for one, but that's not it.
There's 15 free agent safeties this year that can step in and do everything that Dan Sorensen does.
I just think what you need, like specifically when we're talking about center, and I don't, you know, like, I'm not gonna be mad if they take a center. They need a center. But, like, I would tell you that I don't ever draft anyone in the first round saying, if I got 5 years, we'll be okay. Look, there are worse draft picks to make. I'm not saying you can't do worse.
The
Tennessee Titans, right? Like, the Tennessee Titans have a guy who they drafted last year in the first round who's like, I'm never playing for these fools. Now, he deleted that tweet.
Yes.
But he clearly does not want to play for Tennessee. But, like, I don't think you can go in being like, I'm picking 31st in 5 years is good.
Yeah, Isaiah Wilson's the player.
There you go.
Four snaps during his rookie year.
So we're having this conversation, and we're basing it off of the track record of the Chiefs. But no kidding, Brett Veach, if they make a pick at pick 31, their mindset, of course, is that the guy is not going to be gone in 5 years. We're having this conversation like we assume that they wouldn't. That's not the mind. So, like, that's the only part where I don't buy into that 100%, because of course, whoever all these teams draft in the first round or second round, they're like, oh, this guy's going to be a big part of our future for the next 10 years. But that's not reality.
But there is an argument to be made. What Sert is talking about at center is the argument on that side, which is, if it's a position you do not value, why would you spend a first-round pick on it if we know, as a history of a franchise, you aren't willing to pay centers even if they're good? Like, at that point, then, at 31, you might as well take a worse left tackle than the better center if you have no chance. Like, I'm saying, like, if I think Brett Veach actually values
running back, left tackle's cheap. Yeah.
No, it's not. But you see what I'm saying? Like, they've proven a willingness to pay left and right tackles. They give Schwartz a good contract. They give Fisher a good contract. They have never paid a center. They have not paid cornerbacks. It's another reason why you shouldn't maybe take one at 32. Now, maybe you could just be like, hey, they don't have, like, they haven't had the corner to pay, but they have had the center to pay twice. Now, Mitch Morse was hurt. So maybe
Morse has, unfortunately, a plenty of
concussion. And that was a John
issues.
Dorsey thing. But, like, I do think, like, as an organization, if you think a position is more replaceable, you should be less likely to take it in the first round because you are less likely to give them a long-term deal in the future.
Yeah, I mean, but let's say they take a center in the third round. Then, if that center is not any good though, and it's not even giving you what you got from Austin Ryder, this goes back to what I said overall, which is I wouldn't draft a center. You know why? Because I would sign Austin Ryder to a 2-year, $9.5 million contract based on Pro Football Focus's projection, not the spot track 3-year, $22 million or whatever it was under that deal. So that's where
that's the difference between like 5 and 13 million.
Yeah,
is what you would get in a first-round drafted rookie center.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the other thing Kansas City has to decide now. Do they value at the end of the first round that extra fifth year more than they value the draft picks they would get by trading out of it? Because as a franchise, as we talk about being tight on the cap, do you value
the fifth-year
option? The control, which is not cheap. The fifth-year option, by the way, is never cheap.
No, but it's still control.
But it is control, and it's cheaper control than maybe an extension if you were planning on signing a guy to an extension anyway. To me, it just gives you more leverage to wait a year before you got to give the extension. A
few other people on the text line, 913-576-7610, saying if they draft a wide receiver in the third or fourth round, I wouldn't be mad.
I'd be happy if they took a wide receiver in the first.
I would be fine. And if they don't take one in the first, my expectation is that they take one in the second. It's a very good wide receiver draft, and we'll see specifically. Who there's always the, as we were talking with Ken, like who falls at 31 that you never thought that would be there, or does someone fall to 25 and you're willing to trade up? Because the Chiefs are at a position right now, they have 8 picks.
Projected. They currently only have 6,
but they could end up with 8 picks based off of the comp picks. Now, they're not going to get the comp pick we thought they would end up, which was if Eric Bieniemy would have got a head coaching gig, they would have picked up an additional third-round pick. I got to wait at least a year on that if he gets a head coaching gig. But, you know, as far as the Chiefs, where they're at to trade up, is that enough in the arsenal to do it? If you're pick 31, let's say you want to move up five spots in the draft because there's some guy you view as you can't believe he's there at 25, and you're able to pull that off, then do you have enough picks to mortgage some of that? I think they do.
And
you move up
about
five spots in the first round. If they have to give up their second round pick to do it, though, and a fifth round pick, perhaps, then depending on who the player is, if they love that guy that much, then I think you'd be okay with them doing that.
Well, especially because you're going to get those additional picks. Like, we think right now, again, the NFL is really proprietary about how they do their comp pick formula. There's been some people like Nick Corte who do a really good job guessing where it's going to be there. And Ken Swanson's kind of obsessed, I think, with comp pick season. As it sits right now, some would project them, including Arrowhead Pride, as a fourth and a fifth in addition. I don't think they need eight picks. But then I go back to those like Patriot days, and they used to take like 10 or 11 guys during that round. And as good as John, like at first, my first instinct is they don't need eight picks. And then I think about the fact that Brett Veach's best ability inside the draft has been rounds 3 through 7. That is where he has shined. So if he's going to have two fourths, two fifths, a sixth, and a seventh, they might well do more damage with that than they would picking up, you know. And again, if you trade out of the first round, I might want them to throw those numbers. For the first time in a while, I think I might want them to take eight picks. Last year, I said, nah, five or six guys, and they're fine. Their roster is set. Nobody's returning. I think they're going to need to replace more guys. I'm interested in a larger quantity of picks this year for Kansas City than have been in years.
Well, we know Snead was a fourth-round pick, and look what you got there. So you just never know. You throw more darts at it and throw the numbers behind it, and you might end up landing somebody that
Allegretti was on the line. He was a sixth.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You throw some numbers at it and see where you're at. Not to mention, if any of those guys, based on the contract, we know the cap issues that you might have, even though the cap's going to continue to grow, if you're able to hit on one of those guys and all of a sudden you've got them, essentially you're paying a fourth round pick nothing.
$2.2 million over 3 years, 4 years.
No money whatsoever. And so like Snead is going to be making nothing for years and years to come here for the next, you know, 3.5 years, 4 years, right? 3 years, I guess, technically to go. Making no money, and then you'll worry about that problem when you get there if he continues to play at a high level.
Yeah, if he stays at that point, then you're doing it. And I think that the Kansas City probably could use some lower guys. Like, I might even say, like you said, you've been fine with them trading out of the first round.
Yeah.
I might be fine if they got to, like, 10 picks this year. Like, for you know, and I know that I still want them. Like, the only problem is it's, like, torn between, like, I still think they can win the Super Bowl this year. The Super Bowl favorite for a reason. Their roster is great. Do you mortgage some of that? Like, don't Rams it, okay? Don't just, like, give up all your picks for veteran players and then try to run it back. But do you, if you pick higher at the draft, do you risk that those guys would be more ready to play now than versus what they find in the draft? But in my experience, the lower round draft picks for Brett Veach get just as much playing time as the upper round guys. Who got more playing time last year, Willie Gay or Mike Dana? About the same. Who got more playing time? Willie Gay, like, their highest pick last year. Or Legarius Sneed, him, Breland Speaks, or, you know, like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, Speaks was obviously just a complete
Rashad
bust.
Fenton.
Yeah, Speaks, of course, was just an all-around bust. Willie Gay, just he had more guys in front of him, too, right? You had Anthony Hitchens and Damian Wilson, who played at actually a very high level this past season, had some of their best seasons as members of the Chiefs. Whereas a defensive line, you always need some more numbers there, and you had some injuries. And yeah, Mike Dana was a pleasant surprise. Turk Wharton came out of nowhere. A guy's name, I'll still never forget that. Nobody knew the guy's name. And then suddenly, over the weekend, one national guy mentioned his name, and then another local guy did, and suddenly he was on the scene and turned out to be a nice find for this organization. We'll see what step forward Turk Wharton can continue to take as he gets more developed coming out of Missouri.
Another
S&T.
Undrafted free agent. Like, Brett Veach does makes hay with the fourth, fifth, and sixth round picks.
Last minute. The NFL and ESPN, or really ESPN's parent company, Disney, are reportedly working towards a new deal for Monday Night Football. But according to John Auerland of the Sports Business Journal, Disney balked at the NFL's request of a $3.5 million per year contract. ESPN's currently paying about $2 billion a year. Their offer was $2.4 billion. Again, the NFL is requesting $3.5
billion. Billions.
I mean, they're going to get that, right?
Negotiations, Joe. Like, this is all negotiated. They'll come somewhere closer to the NFL number, I would imagine, when it's all said and done. I don't know if the NFL will get the number they're totally seeking, but it's a negotiation, and now it's leaking out publicly. A little PR game here.
Because they're trying to push it. Yeah, push that number up.
What, are you not going to carry the NFL? You're not going to have the NFL on ESPN or ABC?
You're Disney.
Come on,
you're rich.
Now. Come on.
Give
now.
Us our billions.
Come on now. I don't think they'll get the top end dollar, but yeah, of course the NFL is going to keep pushing. The NFL's king. They're going to keep pushing for this. They know what their product's not dwindling anytime soon, despite all the crap from the last couple of years where people are saying they aren't going to watch anymore and all that. Yeah, we see the ratings. The NFL's doing just fine.
They have the most popular sport in the country. Yeah. Not the world. Soccer still wins that if you want to take it worldwide.
Yes.
But they have the most popular sport in the country by a pretty wide margin still. They can ask whatever they want. Because if they don't get it, you know who will take it? The streaming platforms that seemingly have endless budgets to do it. The NFL doesn't want everything on Amazon Prime, but Amazon Prime will pay them the dough that they want. So ESPN at this point has just got to hold on to it. The only thing is for ESPN is, like, man, you got to guarantee me some better Monday night games.
Well, I'm sure
like, I
got to
choose some of these. How the hell does Sunday night get to flex this thing out, but we're just stuck with this garbage Jets game? Like, you got to give us a little bit flexibility. Then we can talk about that $3.4 billion you want.
Yeah, you saw ESPN, or Disney, I should say, testing toward the back half of the season. They were having Monday Night Football on ABC and ESPN to try to see, because there's talk in the new deal, which makes sense. Put it on both the cable and the network. And go ahead and do both. Have it on ABC and have it on ESPN. But big time money, and this is why the cap will quickly recover, even if it's going to settle at 180, 183. This year, it'll quickly start to have its gains again because these contracts are just absolutely ridiculous for the NFL. Coming up next, we head to the noon hour. We'll get to what's trending in sports and also the three biggest things that'll have an impact on the Royals' 2021 success.
Cody and Gold, presented by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip funding guys at kclend.com.